This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
This is Don Boyd. Welcome to Opening the Scriptures. Today we want to start a series of lessons on the book of Proverbs. When you look in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, we find that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Verse 32, again, just speaking of Solomon, says he spake 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. There are three of Solomon's children that are mentioned in the Bible. Of course, there's Rehoboam, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43. 1 Kings 11:43, Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. I bring that up because many times there in the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at those, we're going to see where Solomon says, my son. Two of his daughters are also mentioned in the Bible, and those are both found in 1 Kings chapter 4. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 11, it says there, the son of Amminadab in all the region of Dor, which had Tapheth, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. So there Tapheth is mentioned. And then also in verse 15, it says that Ahimaaz was in Naphtali. He also took Basmath, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. So Basmath is mentioned there. Those are the only three children of Solomon that are mentioned in the Bible. So when we look at a proverb, we want to look first at Proverbs 1:1, where it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Brown Driver Briggs defines the word that is translated proverb this way. Sentences of ethical wisdom, ethical maxims or sayings. Adam Clark made this comment, and I quote, but the Hebrew mashalim, from mashal, to rule or govern, signifies a set or collection of weighty, wise, and therefore authoritative sayings, whereby a man's whole conduct, civil and religious, is to be governed. Sayings containing rules for the government of life. Or as the divine author himself expresses it in the beginning of the first chapter, the design is to lead men to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Of the 3,000 proverbs which Solomon spoke, we have only those contained in this book and in Ecclesiastes. And of the 1,005 songs which he made, only the Song of Solomon has been preserved, unquote. Ted J. Clark made this comment, quote, the Proverbs particularly are concerned with the wisdom as people's skills. Learning and doing those things in dealing with one's own life and interacting with others to make one's life the best it can be, unquote. Well, the date and different sections, or there are different dates and different sections here in the writing of Proverbs, and this comes from the what Ted J. Clark did in a lectureship. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 9, verse 18 were written by Solomon, as we just read, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 16 are also Proverbs of Solomon. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon. And then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 through chapter 24, verse 22 are entitled The Words of the Wise. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 17. Proverbs 22:17. It says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." And in Proverbs 24:23-34, these things also belong to the words, or to the wise there. Look at Proverbs 24:23. It says, "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect to persons in judgment." And then Proverbs 25:1-29:27 are Proverbs of Solomon that were collected and copied by the scribes in Hezekiah's court. Proverbs 25:1 says, "These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out." Solomon began his reign around 970 B.C., and Hezekiah began his reign around 715 B.C., so we see several years in between there. In Proverbs 30, verses 1 through 33, we have the words of Agur, son of Jacob. Proverbs 30, verse 1 says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchal." And in Proverbs 31, verses 1 to 31, are the words of King Lemuel. Proverbs 31:1 says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Now, the names Agur and Lemuel may also apply to Solomon in symbolic fashion. And again, referring to something that Ted J. Clark wrote, and I quote, "According to the Talmud," the Hebrew word Talmud, study or learning, "commonly refers to a compilation of ancient teachings regarded as sacred and normative by Jews from the time it was compiled until modern times, and still so regarded by traditional religious Jews. Solomon was called by six names: Solomon, Jedidiah in 2 Samuel 12:25, Koholeth, son of Jacob, Agur, and Lemuel." Apparently, the names were allegorical. Agur meant gatherer or convener, or I shall fear. Jacob meant obedient or pious, and may have referred to David, Solomon's father. Lemuel means to or for God, unquote. Alan P. Ross list 10 quotes from the Proverbs that are found in the New Testament. We want to look at these. Look first at Proverbs 1:16. Proverbs 1:16. "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." He says that is listed over in Romans chapter 3, verse 15. Romans 3:15, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." Now go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Now turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Says, "Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Now look at Proverbs 3:11-12. Proverbs 3:11-12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." That is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. says, "And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Then we have Proverbs 3:34. "Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly." Found in James 4:6. James 4:6. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Back in Proverbs, look at chapter 10:12. Proverbs 10:12. "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." That is found in 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Now go to Proverbs 11:31. Proverbs 11:31. "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." That's found in 1 Peter 4:18. 1 Peter 4:18. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Now back to Proverbs 24:21. Proverbs 24:21. "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." That is found in 1 Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And then Proverbs 25:21-22. Proverbs 25:21-22. "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." That is found in Romans 12:20. Romans 12:20. It says there, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Now look at Proverbs 26:11. Proverbs 26:11. "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so is a fool returneth to his folly." That is found in 2 Peter 2:22. 2 Peter 2:22. "But it hath happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And then the last one, the 10th one, is Proverbs 27:1. Proverbs 27:1. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And that is found in the book of James 4:13. James 4:13. Says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and buy and sell and continue there a year," or excuse me, "continue there the year and buy and sell and get gain." Verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So there are 10 statements or quotations from the New Testament that are found in the book of Proverbs. Now, we find in Proverbs 1, 2 through 7 here, we find the necessity of the knowledge of the use of wisdom in every matter in our lives. Now, I want to read verse 2 right now. It says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. The word wisdom, translated from the Hebrew word chokmah, according to Brown Driver Briggs, just means wisdom. And then the word instruction there means discipline, chastening, correction, warning, instruction, and restraint. And that is a combination of Brown Driver Briggs definitions and Strong's definitions. To perceive, there the word perceive means to understand. The words of understanding, it just simply means understanding. Now we look at verse 3. It says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. The word instruction there is the same as we saw in verse 2. And again, it means discipline, chastening, correction, warning, instruction, or restraint. The word wisdom here, though, in verse 3, instruction of wisdom, is a different Hebrew word. The one found in verse 2 was chokmah. The one here in verse 3 is sakal. Brown Driver Briggs says that this word means to be prudent, be circumspect, wisely understand, or prosper. Strong's says it means to be, make, or act circumspect, and hence intelligent. The word justice here in verse 3, tzedek, maybe I pronounced that right. Brown Driver Briggs says it means justice, rightness, righteousness, what is right or just or normal of weights and measures. Righteousness in government of judges, rulers, kings, and righteousness of law. So justice in several different areas here is what we're looking at there. The word judgment, mishpat, Strong says it means a verdict, favorable or unfavorable, pronounced judiciously, especially a sentence or formal decree. And then the last word there in verse 3 is equity, meishar. Brown Driver Briggs says it means evenness, uprightness, straightness, or equity. Now in verse 4 of chapter 1, it says to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The word nathan is the word translated give here. Brown Driver Briggs says it means to give, bestow, grant, permit, ascribe, devote, or consecrate, dedicate, pay wages, sell, exchange, sell, commit, entrust, give over, deliver up, yield, produce, occasion, requite to, report, mention, utter, stretch out, extend. So in other words, all these words have to do with giving subtlety. The word subtlety can mean shrewdness or craftiness, but also prudence. So it can be done in a bad way or a good way. And here in verse 4, we're looking at the good way. So we're giving subtlety to the simple is what wisdom does. The word subtlety we've already looked at. The word simple, pethia, Brown Driver Briggs says, means simple, foolish, open-minded. Barnes says this of the word, and I quote, "The simple, literally the open-hearted, the mind's ready to receive impressions for good or evil, and the young, who need both knowledge and discipline." So the simple are those who are open-minded. They're ready to accept whatever instruction is given. And then he says, especially to the young man, the young who need knowledge and discipline. And the word knowledge here means knowledge, perception, skill, understanding, and also wisdom. And that's Brown Driver Briggs. The word discretion, mazima, Brown Driver Briggs says it is purpose, discretion, device, or plot. Barnes says this of the word, and I quote, "And the discretion or discernment which sets a man on his guard and keeps him from being duped by false advisors," unquote. In verse 5, there in Proverbs 1, it says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." The word here, a wise man, the word wise means the same thing as we've looked at previously, but it says he will hear. That word means to hear intelligently. Intelligently hear wisdom. It says, "And will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." The power of wisdom here is to steer the wise person's course in the right direction on the dangerous seas of life. Now in verse 6, it says, "To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Well, you think about to understand correctly what is being said. You know, the proverbs have their hidden meanings. You think about the parables of Jesus. They had their hidden meanings, meanings that we need to understand. Now, verse 7 of Proverbs 1, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and reverence and instruction." You know, the word fear here means reverence. The reverence of God. You know, you think about Adam and Eve. God gave them the ability to obey his command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, they had that ability to obey that, but they did not have the proper fear or reverence of God to obey that command. Eve was convinced by Satan that eating of that tree would provide them with all they ever wanted. And you go back and you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes," and then notice this, "and a tree to be desired to make one wise." You see, Satan said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be wise as God. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. But you know, that tree didn't do all that the devil promised, did it? Adam and Eve acted foolishly by not using the wisdom that God gave them to overcome that temptation, and they sinned. Ted J. Clark made this comment, and I quote, "Possessing a knowledge of what is wise does not guarantee wise action," unquote. You know, we can look at Bible character after Bible character on that. We can look at our own lives and see that as well. Now, in Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 19, there are instructions there to avoid the enticement of sinners. Excuse me. First of all, we want to look at verse 8. Solomon says there, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. The words "my son" are found 23 times in the book of Proverbs. We see it here in verse 8, we'll see it in verse 10, verse 15, and as we go further through the book, we will see it these numerous times. Now, the word "son" there from the Hebrew word "ben," Brown Driver Briggs says, means son, grandson, child, member of a group, a male child, a grandson, or children in plural as male and female, but also can mean people of a nation in the plural form. So Solomon's advice may be more to more than just Rehoboam. And it's good for us to follow these instructions, as Romans 15:4 says, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we'll flip over and we'll read that verse. It says there, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So we need to be paying attention to the things that are stated here in Proverbs. You know, just as the book of James is practical Christianity, the book of Proverbs is just practical living. All right, so here in verse 8 again, it says, "Hear the instruction of thy father." That word "hear" again means to hear intelligently. Listen to it and pay attention. The word "instruction" means discipline, chastening, and correction. So listen to the discipline, listen to the instruction, listen to the chastening of your father. And then he also says, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." The word translated for forsake, according to Brown Driver Briggs, means this: to leave, permit, forsake, cast off or away, reject, spread out or abroad, be loosed, cease, abandon, quit, hang loose, cast down, make a raid, lie fallow, let fall, forego, or draw. In other words, don't leave, don't cast away the law of thy mother. The word "law" here means law, direction, and instruction. Both father and mother have responsibilities for the children in the home. Now look at verse 9. "For they," that being the instruction of thy father and the law of thy mother, "shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Well, in verse 9, what he's talking about here is parental respect and obedience will be as an ornament to thee, just as they are as jewels are to crowns, diadems, and golden chains and pearls to others. And Adam Clark is the one that made that comment. Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Sinners, those who are not obeying God, those who have not obeyed God and are living sinful lifestyles, and they're going to entice thee. The word "entice" literally means to open the way. Sinners are those, again, who live their lives disobeying God and offer others the same opportunity. You know, you think about it, their lives so often look so good, so pleasurable, so much fun that they have. And they cannot make us do anything that we don't consent to do, though. We have a choice. As Adam Clark said, "Not even the devil himself can lead a man into sin till he consents." We should just say no. You know, it goes right over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And want to be reading here in verses 13 down through 15. It says, let no man say when he is tempted. The word tempted here means enticed. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. His own lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then we are enticed. The word enticed here in the Greek means to entrap. We're led away of our own lust and we're trapped, our own longing there. That's what lust means. Then, when lust hath conceived, in other words, the trap has been set and the individual is captured. That's what the word conceived means. It bringeth forth sin. Excuse me. It produces sin, in other words, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The word bringeth forth there means dead at birth. So Solomon is mentioning the same thing back here, excuse me, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Now let's look at verse 11. He says, if they, that being the sinners that are enticing, say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. So what they're saying is, come along with us, let us lie in wait. Let's ambush a rich traveler and shed his blood to get his money. Or could mean this, let us hide and wait for a harmless traveler to come by and attack him. And they want to do that without any cause. In other words, they do it of their own free will because that's what they want to do. And you look around in our world today, the very same thing is happening every day in our country. Now, verse 12. Let us swallow them up alive as in the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. In other words, the destruction of those that they attack will be as sudden as if the earth swallowed them up. We're going to attack them, and we're going to attack them suddenly. They're not going to have an opportunity to escape or fight back. Verse 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. So the temptation here then is to gain much wealth. They want to gain wealth. They're willing to risk their lives to obtain what others possess. You know, covetousness is at the bottom of all this wickedness that we're seeing right here. And people today are covetous. They wouldn't shoplift if they weren't covetous. They wouldn't steal if they weren't covetous. They would not do many of the things that they do today if they were not covetous. Verse 14. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. In other words, come with us and share in all the riches that we are going to obtain. Look at all we can get, and you're going to get an equal share. Well, verse 15 says, my son, walk not thou with them, or walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. The word walk there, halak, means to go, to walk, or to come. In other words, do not go with them. You stay away from them. Now you go to Exodus chapter 23. You want to look at verse 2. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. So don't follow a multitude to do evil. Now you think about the protests and the riots that people do today. What's that doing? That's just following a multitude. And what good does it really do? You know, whenever you look, how often in the New Testament did Jesus or his apostles or his disciples protest or riot? That should tell us something. That should tell us something. Verse 16 of Proverbs 1 says, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. In other words, they hurry to do evil. That is what they're out for. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18, it says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift running to evil. Those are two of the things that are an abomination to God, as it says there in verse 16. And then you look in the book of Psalms, and you look at Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, that's a progression. You walk in the counsel of the ungodly, then you stand in the way with these sinners, and then you are seated in the seat of the scornful. But the one who is blessed is the one who does not do those things. And then look at Psalm 119, verse 101. Psalm 119, verse 101. The psalmist declared, I have refrained my foot from evil, every evil way, that I might keep thy word, or obey thy word. So there are many warnings there, many instructions given for us to refrain, stay away from those who are doing evil. Now look at Proverbs 1:17. It says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Well, what he's saying here is, you've been warned to escape the offers of the wicked. Just as a bird, if he sees a net or a snare spread for him, he avoids it. And here you have the instruction to avoid doing evil. Now you think about it. You ever been tempted to drink alcohol by some friends? You ever been tempted to go to a dance by some friends? Ever been tempted to smoke marijuana or take drugs by some friends? And don't try to tell me that because marijuana is legal in some places that it's okay to do. Because it's not. It's just like drinking alcohol. It may be legal, but it is not. It is sin. Let's put it that way. It is sin. But you know, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown mentioned this according to this verse, and I quote, but stupid sinners rush to their own ruin, Psalm 9:16, and greedy of gain succeed in the very schemes which will destroy them, 1 Timothy 6:10. Not only failing to catch others, but procuring their own destruction. Unquote. People who do that procure their own destruction there in verse 17. Now, in verse 18, it says there, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. their own lives they are doing. Justice will come upon them. While they wait in for others, they lie in wait to ambush others, they're laying a snare for their own selves. And they are headed for everlasting punishment. You know, there are those who do get away from physical punishment on this earth, but they will not escape eternal punishment. In verse 19, it says, so, or in other words, like this, are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. They're all this way, he says. Gill, in his commentary, made this quote on verse 19. That is, set upon getting riches in an unlawful way by robberies and murder, his ways will end in the loss of his own blood and life and in the loss of his immortal soul. This will be what his wicked ways and course of life will bring to him. And what will his gain profit him then? It would be of no use and service to him could he have gained the whole world. Unquote. In the Geneva Bible, the translators left notes at the end of verses and many of the verses, and this is what they said here at the end of verse 19. By which, or quote, by which he concludes that the covetous man is a murderer, unquote. A covetous man will do anything to get what he thinks he is entitled to. Now in verses 20 to 33, there in Proverbs chapter 1, we have the call of wisdom. Again, verses 20 to 33. Verse 20 says, wisdom crieth without. The American Standard Version says, in the street. She uttereth her voice in the streets. So the word is literally wisdoms. It's plural. And it is feminine in gender. So wisdom here is personified. In other words, it is given human attributes like crying out in the streets. And wisdom is said to cry out in the streets, in public places where all can hear, not secretly. The word crieth here from the Hebrew word kara, Q-A-R-A, Brown Driver Briggs says, means to call out, recite, read, cry out, or proclaim. So wisdom is crying out in public places to all. Now verse 21. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, and we'll get to what she says in a minute. So wisdom is said here to call out in the most public places, where people are gathered to meet together. Places of concourse, the Hebrew word hama. Brown Driver Briggs says, means to murmur, growl, roar, cry aloud, mourn, rage, sound, make noise, be tumultuous, be clamorous, be disquieted, be loud, be moved, be troubled, be in an uproar. And in these places like the opening of gates, those are where people go in and out in great numbers. So she's crying forth to all these people. Verse 22, what does she say? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? She's crying that out. Simple ones. The Hebrew word pethia. Strong says that Hebrew word means silly or the seducible. How long will you who are able to be seduced love, the word love here, aheb, means to have affection for, Simplicity. It means the same thing as simple. How long will you silly ones live silliness, or how long will you those that are able, that are willing to be seducible, be seduced? And those scorners there that he mentions in verse 22, how long the scorners delight in their scorning? Scorners, the Hebrew word lutz, means to scorn, to make mouths at, or talk arrogantly. And the word scorning, latson, means derision. According to Strong's, Brown Driver Briggs says scorning or bragging. Scorners delight in their bragging. And fools hate knowledge. The word fool, kesil. Brown Driver Briggs says, fool, stupid fellow, dullard, simpleton, arrogant one. And they hate, and it just simply means hate, knowledge. Knowledge, perception, discernment, or understanding. They hate understanding. It also means wisdom. The Geneva Bible translators made a note on this verse, and it says, and I quote, wisdom reproves three kinds of men: the foolish or simple who err out of ignorance, the mockers who cannot stand to be taught, and the fools who are drowned in worldly lust and hate the knowledge of godliness, unquote. Again, all you have to do is look around in our world and you see these three kinds of people. The foolish who err out of ignorance, mockers who can't stand to be taught, and the fools who are drowned in worldly lusts and they don't want to know anything about godliness. Verse 23 now says, turn you at my reproof. Again, this is wisdom speaking. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So wisdom is pleading with these three groups to turn from their evil ways and pay attention to what wisdom is trying to teach them. He mentions their reproof. Turn at my reproof. The Hebrew word takecha means to rebuke, correction, reproof, punishment, chastisement, argument, or reproof. So what is he saying? Turn at my correction. And he also mentions, I will pour out my spirit unto you. The pouring out of the spirit of wisdom personified abundantly by imparting the words of wisdom to these three groups. And words of wisdom are going to be spoken. Verse 24 says, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Wisdom again is calling out to these three groups of people and they refuse to listen. Wisdom reached out her hand to help. No man regarded. The word regarded there from the Hebrew word kashab, Brown Driver Briggs says it means to hear, to be attentive, to heed, to incline the ears, to hearken, to pay attention, to listen. And none of them would. None of them would listen. Verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. So instead of heeding what wisdom was saying, they dismissed her advice and paid no attention to her correction or her chastisement. Isn't that what people do today? They don't care about law. You know, God set forth government so that we're to obey government, Romans chapter 13. And you got people that don't obey traffic laws. And if you can't be trusted to obey the simple, the small things like a traffic law, how can you be trusted in bigger things? Well, you just dismiss the advice of wisdom. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. So because of their reaction to what wisdom has offered, in other words, they rejected it, this is the way wisdom reacts. Wisdom will laugh at their misfortune which their lifestyles lead them to. Wisdom will treat them the way they treated her. Wisdom will mock when sudden alarm comes upon them. Now, the Geneva Bible translators, in their notes, made this comment, and I quote, "This is spoken according to our capacity, signifying that the wicked who mock and jest at God's word will have the just reward of their mocking," unquote. And then verse 27, we'll probably end with this verse. "When your fear cometh as desolation," American Standard Version says a storm, "and your destruction," American Standard says calamity, "cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." So we have fear here. Fear, that fear means sudden alarm. Suddenly it comes upon them. "Cometh as desolation." Brown Driver Briggs says that word means a devastating storm. You think of a tornado, maybe. "And your destruction," the word destruction, Brown Driver Briggs says, means distress, burden, or calamity. "Cometh as a whirlwind." The word whirlwind, according to Strong's, there means a hurricane. You think about the ferocity of a Category 5 hurricane. "And when distress," that means straits, distress, or trouble, according to Brown Driver Briggs. "And anguish," again Brown Driver Briggs, distress or anguish figuratively. He is saying here, wisdom is saying, she is saying, I guess I should put it, these things are going to come upon everyone who does not pay attention to wisdom. And where is wisdom found? It's found in God's word. And how do we obtain wisdom? James tells us, doesn't he? The book of James there in James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not," in other words, doesn't scold, "and it shall be given him." We gain knowledge through the word of God. We gain wisdom by asking God. And he's going to provide ways where we will know how to use our knowledge. And that is what wisdom is. Well, we're going to call a stop right there, and Lord willing, we will start there in verse 20. Oh, I'm in the book of James here. Let me go back to Proverbs. We'll start there, Lord willing, there in verse 28 next time. So again, this is Don Boyd. I want to thank you for tuning in to Opening the Scriptures, and I look forward to being with you next time.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.